I did say this last week, that office of the apostle and any ministry gifts whatsoever is not subject to human ordination. Human ordination only acknowledges it. When we call something an ordination, it's to acknowledge that which God has done, that we have seen. It's not the ordination that produces the call, or the ordination that puts somebody in the ministry. Because today people oftentimes ask and they say, well, when were you ordained? That's not when the ministry began. Okay? The ordination is when certain people recognize the ministry of that fellow. Now, we do have within the church those who we ordain as elders, and I think if you lay your hands on that series concerning the gifts of God, you see the explanations, because I'm already teaching on that presently. And people ask, when were you ordained? And they believe that by the time you pick up a title from a group of people, and then they call you reverend, or pastor, or bishop, that's an ordination. Anyone can actually pick up any title. I remember I said this, I don't know whether I can say this to you, I killed really. And I told folks that if you go, just go on the internet, you could pick up the ordination just from anywhere today. I mean, you could just pick it up. I know organizations that offer it for people. But that doesn't mean the fellow is in the ministry. Because there are proofs of the call of God. There are proofs of the gift of ministry. There are proofs. Things that will be very evident in the life of the fellow before we call him whatever. I even think, and I say it often, I've seen it for years, that when you call yourself a thing too often, oftentimes maybe it's because you are not. Okay? Because it ought to be evident to people. So the Paul says it, that it is not by man. It's not by man. So a fellow's calling does not need your endorsement for it to be of God. The Bible says that God approved Jesus Christ with signs and wonders. I mean, that's something. God approved him amongst the people. So if your calling is just because certain people like your face, and then you believe that, well, you are truly called of God, maybe you are wrong. The Bible says God approved Jesus Christ amongst the people. In other words, God endorsed Jesus. He endorsed him. Acts 2 verse 22. He endorsed Jesus amongst the people. So the proofs made people ask questions. Who is this fellow? You will never find any ordination ceremony for Jesus but the one by John when the Spirit of God came on him when he was baptized. So it's very important that we know that when it comes to the ministry, human acknowledgement is not necessarily an endorsement from God. So Paul writes, and then he says in verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So you can see that the gospel of Jesus is grace. Can you see this now? Grace is not a teaching or a special doctrine. I don't like this moving around. Excuse me? Sister Ibukun, go back to your seat. When the service starts, you sit where you are. Don't move around here. Okay? Stop giving us a distraction. Alright. So, the gospel of Christ is the grace of God. It is not, grace is not a special teaching by special people. You say, I like that fellow. He teaches grace. The gospel is grace. That's what it is. What God gave freely. See, anything that is not grace is another gospel. Anything that requires something from you is another gospel. Paul explains it there. It's another gospel. If it has to require something from you for you to become something, then It is not the word of God. It is not the gospel of Christ. That's another gospel. So it will be another gospel. Another gospel looks like the gospel. Because why does it look like the gospel? Because the preacher will also quote from the Bible. But he doesn't have the understanding of the Bible. Paul says in Acts 20 verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and grant you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. That is, it is only the grace of God in his word that grants you your inheritance. Because the law does not grant an inheritance. The law requires that you do something. Okay? So if someone does not teach the grace of God, he is preaching another gospel. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so, and look at this. These are people who are exposed to the word of grace, but they still are lured. Because oftentimes, you know, sometimes really, I can be very honest with you. It's very easy to get yourself lured into works. I'll give you my personal experience. I grew up initially under what you call a very religious Christian environment where we looked at things from the outward perspective. So if I walk into a church then now, not now, and I see a lady's hair colored, I just imagine she's not a Christian. I mean, if you ask me why, I didn't even have answers. I just believe that this cannot be a Christian. A Christian has to measure up with somebody from my church. The ladies who wear the scarf, there's nothing wrong with wearing scarf, it's just another fashion statement, praise God. And who wears a long skirt, it's just a fashion statement. And I see a fellow, for instance, if you go to church today, and you see a fellow now wearing earrings, a man, you just wonder, why are they allowing unbelievers into the church? That's just what comes to your mind. Even after a while, when I got a hold of the Word of God and I got started getting exposed to the Word of God, somehow in my silent mind, I was just, Now, there's a right way of classifying someone like that for another reason, not because of the earrings he has put on or the hair she has tinted, but sometimes we don't even know what it is. Okay? So, it could be very, very easy to start to look like that and start to see things like that. Now, to now make matters worse for this church, certain people now came in to preach to them certain things, and they quoted from the scriptures. Okay? And Paul says that what they have done is to remove you from the grace of Christ to another gospel. So, anything, and I said it in this series, that is not free is not Christ. And if it's not Christ, it's not the Word. If it's not the Word, it's not the gospel. Are you following me this morning? Are you sleeping or something? Are you following me this morning? Alright, you don't seem to. So today, we have a mixture. Now, the most dangerous preaching, the most dangerous doctrine, is a doctrine that mixes faith and works, grace and the law. It's the most dangerous because with the same attitude with which you will receive the grace of God, in the same breath, you will accept the law. And then you will now have a struggle. Because grace and the law are not the same. But in some preaching, they have been merged. What Paul calls an unequal yoke. They are just merged. So they sound like they are the same. And so you just feel like it's true. After all, After all, we cannot just, is it not just right? After all, you know, because it sounds okay. And that's the most dangerous teaching. Because a good teaching will make a separation like Paul has done. A good separation. So that you will know that if you are in the law, you are not of faith. If you are in grace, you are not of works. You know, it's very clear in the Bible. Hallelujah. So it's important that we know that difference. If you mix it up, I was sharing with someone years ago. I was in university then, and I was sharing with him on the Word of God, and he made a comment that we had been fellowshipping for a while, so he said, well, that for him, he will not impose dressing on the church members. That's okay. I mean, you shouldn't anyway. He said, but I don't think that it's just wrong to have the hair of the women covered with cloth or scarf. He said, I just think that it's just godly. Now, that statement is lovely. But I smiled when he made that comment. And I said to him, that was almost 16 years now. I said, brother, you don't know the Word of God. He was shocked because he felt we had been relating for a while. Why would you say this? I said, you don't. Because you don't mix these things. You are bringing in circumcision from the back door. What has covering of hair got to do with reverence? What has it got to do with reverence? That's nothing. That's not reverence. That doesn't appeal to reverence. It's not reverence at all. Reverence is an attitude. It's not a dressing. That attitude could come out in the dressing, yes, but reverence is not an attitude. I mean, it's not a dressing. So people can mix things up very easily, and it's a very subtle way that grace oftentimes will be seen to mix with the law. So Paul writes this material to make sure that people were not being moved from the grace of Christ into the law. Now look at chapter 4, that's where we were last week. Verse 10. You observe days and months and times and years. You observe days and months. You observe days and months and times and years. What is it you observe days and months and times and years? It was referring, for instance, to the Sabbath day. Under the law, the Sabbath day was a day you don't work. You don't work. You just, it's a day of rest. And some people today still observe the Sabbath day. To keep the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord. It was a Sabbath day. So the Sabbath day is a Sunday. It's a Sunday. But that's not true. The Sabbath day is no longer a Sunday. The Sabbath day of the Old Testament was a shadow of the rest that we have in Christ Jesus today. It's a shadow. You've got to leave the shadow and come into the substance. The substance of Christ. Let me show you something. Look at John. John chapter 5. John 5. Jesus, on the Sabbath day, healed a sick man. On the Sabbath day. John chapter 5, verse 15. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Verse 15. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. I mean, kill him. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Imagine that now. because he had healed the sick on the Sabbath day. That's what they said. So why would you do something on the Sabbath day? But you see, the funny part was that they were reading the word on the Sabbath day. They were reading the Old Testament, the scriptures on the Sabbath day. But they felt that nothing should be done on the Sabbath day. Now look at the response of Jesus to what they said. He said, my Father, verse 17, walketh hitherto, and I walk. You know what that means? They didn't get that. He said, on the Sabbath, my Father walketh, and I walk. What does he mean by, on the Sabbath, my Father walk, and I walk? The sense knowledge man will say, what does he say? He is saying to them, because he had told them, he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Enter into my works. Hallelujah. Enter into my Father's works. Because that is what the Sabbath was for. That you cease from your works and enjoy what God has done. Not a day to stop eating or drinking or a day to stop going to work in your office. No. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 10. I want us to read that together. Hebrews 4:10. Want to go? For he that is entered, let's take it again. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. That's what happens on Sabbath. You cease from your works. You enter into his rest. You cease from your works. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Verse 16. Let no man, Colossians 2:16, we're still going to come back here later. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. And now this refers to the drinks and the food of the Old Testament, the meals, which included what people do today, the Holy Communion that we have seen is the Passover. It says, or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of what? Am I with people this morning? Are you sure you are here in this service? Or you are strangers in this house? Or in what? Of the what? The word there is the Sabbath, not days now. You see the word days is in italics, right? Now look at verse 17. Want to go? You see that? So the Sabbath day was a shadow of things to come. The substance is what? Christ. So Jesus is our Sabbath. Hallelujah. He's our Sabbath. If you observe the Sabbath day, you're not looking unto Jesus. If you look unto Jesus, you will not observe the Sabbath day. You will enter into his Sabbath, his own rest. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. Go back to Galatians now. So Paul says here that Galatians 4. Galatians chapter 4. It says, you observe days and ten and months and times and years. We're talking about they observing the new moon. You check that in Numbers chapter 10, verse 10. He said they observe feasts, Passover, the first fruits week, the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover. He said they observe those days. Can you imagine Christians who are born of God, who are now in Christ, the substance of things, we're now observing things? Some people just do Lenten season. So what's Lenten season? Say 40 days of... Who started the Lenten season? They don't even know. Everybody doesn't know. Well, the whole church does those 40 days fasting for what? To just commemorate the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, his sufferings for humanity. So we just fast, we are fasting for 40 days. Okay, for what? They don't even know. Now, look at Paul's response. I'm afraid for you. You see, I'm afraid of you in the King James wrong. I'm afraid for you, lest I bestowed upon you labor in vain. That's a strong word from your pastor. Lest I labored in vain. Because if I've taught you all these things, and yet something as cheap as this is getting your feet off the ground. You know, say, I understand the word of God, but pastor, there's still sense in that thing. There's a sense in what? There's a sense in it. Honestly, sir, I believe that, you know, I thank God for the truth that you are preaching in our church, but there are other truths that we have to bring together to make the truth. You are a fool. That's what you are. That's what Paul called them. You are a fool. You are slow of heart to understand the things that the prophets have spoken about Christ. You are slow of heart. Who has bewitched you? Who has manipulated you? Galatians 3 and 1. Who has enticed you? Hallelujah. Look at verse 12. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am. He says, as I am, as you are, you have not injured me at all. Now, I want to go to verse 15. Where is then the blessedness that you speak of? For I bear you record. Getting this talk. For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you will have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Where is then the blessedness? That word there is the joy, what you have enjoyed. That means these people once enjoyed the word. Now, this is backsliding. They once enjoyed the word. They once enjoyed the revelation of redemption. But now, he says, where is that blessedness that you used to speak of? You know, that was when we were younger, sir. Now we have to face reality. You know, somebody told me one time, said, yes, all this and what Christ has done for us and all that. I was pastoring in the church. So he wanted to bring in, he founded the church, so I was called to pastor for him. Okay, that was some, several years back. I used to do a lot of auxiliary pastoring in those days. Because they loved the fact that I wanted to teach the word of God and then do some administrative work. But they did not like the fact that I was consistent with it. So he said, I like Pastor Shegu for what he's teaching and all that. He was the founder of the church, but he wasn't a preacher. You know, I'll save you the story now. So he said, I like the message and all that. Said he always tells us what Jesus did for us on the cross, what he has done and everything and all that. Said I always enjoy him. But however, there are other things that other people have to say. He said, yes. He said, for instance, there's a prophetic dimension. He said, there's some things that we need to hear. So I said, sir, like what? He said, there are other things, no? What's that? In church. Is this part of it? He said, there are other things now. I said, like what? He said, other things. He was getting bored. I'm coming to church every Sunday and hearing about Christ. He was getting bored. Because Sundays to Sunday, we come around and say, blessed be God for what Christ has done for us. Blessed be God. He died on the cross. He was buried. And there are other things now. Yeah, there are other things. Like what? Like 41 keys to acquire your possession. 11 ways to make heaven. 46 steps. So what's the first step? Is it number one, know God? Number two, obey God? Number three, submit to God? Number four, fear God? Number five, reverence God? Number six, be around God? Number seven, follow God? Number eight, be pure before God? Number nine, speak about God? Number seven, where am I now? That's 10, right? Praise God. Number eight, worship God. Number nine, bow down to God. Number 10, acknowledge God. Number 11, I've lost count. Number 11 will be God himself. Praise the name of Jesus. You see, all those things sound cool. They sound nice. Because you will not have a sense of, you have a sense of accomplishment. A sense of, yes, there's something to be done. You can't just come here and say everything is done. There's something to be done. Number one, I've got to fear God on Monday. Number two, I've got to obey God. Number three, on Friday, I've got to reverence God. You now have a sense of like you're going to reach somewhere. That's another gospel. Christ is all. Number one, Christ Jesus. Number two, Christ Jesus. Number three, Christ Jesus. Number four, Christ Jesus. Number five, Christ Jesus. Number six, Christ Jesus. Number seven, Christ Jesus. Number eight, yes, we are in Him. Hallelujah. And He is in us. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am everything. But when you have steps like that, you want to feel like there's something you want to do. There's a sense of pursuit. You know, you read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and you see a distance. It says, if you will obey all that I have said and follow His statutes, you will be blessed when you come out. You will be blessed when you go in. It says you obey all. Have you ever tried to read all? You just try it. Try to read all. You start from Exodus, you get to Leviticus, you get to Numbers. By the time you are trying to meet up with the one in Leviticus, you just think there's something in Numbers you have missed out on. Then you fall down again. You start again. That's why nobody ever got justified by the law, because that was not the essence of the law. The law was to reveal the need for Christ. That's all. So you just feel a sense of accomplishment. Some people, for instance, pray like that. They pray because they believe it's a burden. So they wake up in the morning. So they go to this, they kneel down to pray because they believe that God wants them to pray in the morning. Yes, if you don't pray in the morning, God's hungry. So they pray. Father, today I thank you. I worship you, King of Kings. And they roll on the floor because they've seen somebody roll on the floor in church. So this is how it's done, right? Okay. So they roll on the floor. I thank you. I worship you. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the Father of the fathers. You are the I am that I am. Hey, Father. Right in his heart. Those statements are not coming from there. But he just wants to say something. So he says, oh God, Lion of the tribe of Judah. But if it now happens that one day, it happens one day, he doesn't do those things. Then as he's going, his car just hits something. Boy, I think, hey. See, because I didn't pray in the morning. He just sees that, Father, all these sins I've committed from the morning till now, cover it with your blood. If your blood is not enough, use your flesh. If your flesh is not enough, use your spirit. If your spirit is not enough, just use anything. Because he wants to be fulfilled outside what Christ has done for him already. That's another gospel. Say, Christ is enough. Do you believe that? Say, Christ is enough. He's enough. It's all that you need. He's all you'll ever need. Praise the Lord. Say, Christ is all I need. Come on, say, Christ is all I need. So if you are removed from the gospel of Christ, you are in another gospel.
Paul says here, where is then the thing that we enjoyed? These folks are backsliding. They are backsliding. Look at verse 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? That is, I tell you the truth. Have I become someone you cannot associate with anymore? Because I tell you the truth. Look at 17. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they will exclude you that you might affect them. Let me take that from the NIV. NIV says, it says, they are zealous to win you over, but not for your good. They are zealous to win you over, but not for your good. He says, but they seek to separate you from us. They seek to separate us from you. That's the way the NIV puts it. They are zealous to win you over. Years ago, I used to run a teaching meeting in a particular place like that. It was a school, several years ago now. So I'll get in there, I'll teach them the word. But there was this brother who will come after. There's a way he used to come into the service. He will come during the time I will be teaching. Then he'll sit at the back. He won't bring a Bible. He'll just smile. And he was older than I was, so. And then the brother will look at him like this. His name was Brother Emmanuel. So he had done that for a couple of weeks. Then one day, he said he had something to share. So he actually got on the, well, there was no stage. He got, and he said he wanted to say something. So he got to the front. He said, brethren, I just want to tell you something. The most important thing is that you should make heaven. And now, that scares anybody who is not established in the Word of God. If you say heaven, you know what comes to your mind when you hear heaven? Who can tell me? Hell. It's so simple. You're not thinking of hell. Then what do you think about hell? Fire. They begin to have some deja vu. Or what do I call it now? A feeling like you are going to be somewhere, you are not there already. Fire. Hey, my fingers will burn. Hey, my leg will burn. Hey, guy says, I just want to tell you, because heaven is not easy. It's not easy. The Bible says, narrow is the way that leads to heaven. Then you say, wide. Hey, is the way. So anybody preaching easy, easy, easy things, I say it is easy. Be careful. So when he was through, I said, can I say something? He said, yes. I said, Jesus is the way. He is the truth and the life. So if Jesus is narrow, amen, that means the way is narrow. Praise God. So I went back. He said nothing again. But the next time I went there to preach, the folks in the fellowship did not want to hear me again. Because he had told them all sorts of, I've seen some tracts before, they would just draw a pastor with haircut in Jericho. Then the congregation now has sisters who are in trousers and use earrings. Then they say, beware of false prophets. Then, they show you the next page, you see the same pastor and the same congregation, they're in hell. Do you want to be like this? It's the easiest thing. You come to anywhere and talk about hell and heaven, you will get people's submission easily. Just say,
In the next 48 hours, the Lord will come. And the Lord has already told you, sent you a text message overnight. He is on his way. And in fact, they have expanded hell now because more people are going there now. And in fact, they are adding more gasoline. Who are those doing it? The angels. That means they are in hell. You know, so they are also in hell. So we are all in hell. You know, the angels are doing it. God is saying that area doesn't have fire. Add fire to that. Hallelujah. Paul says that they are zealous to affect you, to win you over. Say, but it's not for your good. It's not for your good. Those who teach the law have very, they sound nice. Ah! They sound cool. A friend of mine told me how in a workers' congress convention of ministers and pastors, somebody gave a call for salvation. He said, look, you can do all these things and you go to hell. Ah. Say yes. So he began to read out scriptures from Old Testament to twisting everything and twisting and twisting and twisting. When it was true, he now gave a call. He said everybody in the congregation came out. Only the Jew stayed. He said, come out. And they all came. Now begin to confess your sins. Who was he? The Lamb? Confess your sins. Say, because if you do all this, and after it, you cannot enter heaven. Father, Jesus, Holy Ghost, do it for me. Satan is glorified in such things. Praise God. Hallelujah. Say, they zealously affect you. But it's not for your good. There's a blessedness that comes from grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Watch this. Verse 18. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. The Amplified says, it's good to be zealous, provided the purpose is good. Now watch this now. This brings us to a fact that we must know our spiritual fathers. Those who groom us in the Word of God. You see, oftentimes people think that the Christian faith is about variety. You get some of this, you get small of that, or you just go around and you are shopping for all sorts of preaching and teaching and inspirational talk all over the place. Oftentimes it builds very weak Christians. You must know your pastor. You must know your pastor. And you must listen to your pastor. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15. Because that's why this church, the reason why this church, for instance, began to backslide was because they allowed other people to differ right in their presence from what Paul, who founded the church as it were, you know, was teaching. Now watch this now. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. I'll take 14, then we'll take 15 together. I write not these things to you to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Verse 15 together. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet, take it again. Neither. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16 together, everybody. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You have 10,000 instructors. Now, he's using an hyperbole. You have many people who can say great things, who have other things to say and all that. Say, but you have just one father. I have begotten you through the gospel of Christ. People need to know that. And stick to what's going on there. Stick to the Word of God. Stick to what they have been taught in the Word.
Also, when Paul said they have been removed from the grace of Christ to another gospel, it was not possible for them to have been moved from the grace of Christ to another gospel if not for the presence of other people who came to teach other things. That's the only way that can happen. Where other people are coming to teach other things different from what they have been taught before. So man must be very careful. It's nice to hear those things. I said that earlier. It's nice to hear, you know, for instance, I was invited by someone to preach for him years back. And the theme was blood ties. Blood ties. Blood ties mean things that people have, they encounter because of blood. Okay? Because of blood. They say, well, this blood tie, that blood tie. I don't know where they got it from. Okay? So I was called to preach. So I just got in there. I just taught the word of God. I just taught them about the blood of Jesus. In a very simple way. How they are redeemed by the blood. How there is no covenant in the world that supersedes the covenant of the blood of Christ. How they are saved eternally by the blood. How they are redeemed by the blood of Christ. How today they are now in Christ, in the church, in the body of Christ, in the family of God because of the blood of Christ. How they have access to God because of the blood of Christ. That supersedes anything. You see, anything African science tries to tell you. You know there's African science. People watch a lot of films and they bring that to bear in their preaching. But the word of God remains constant. Inconsistent. Hallelujah. Well, let's see now. Verse 21. Let me say this to you. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I keep saying it. That the proof of conviction is repetition. You see, a lot of us do not understand the message of grace and the message of the New Testament because we do not spend time with it. You've got to spend time. You've got to hear it again and again and again until you are established. What do you mean established? Established means that look, everything, the word established is the word foundation. Everything will be built on this. Then you are established. Everything will be built on this. Verse 21. Tell me, you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? Now, watch what has happened now. Because of the knowledge they have been given, they are now desiring something else. So they desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? He says, hear the law. What has the law has to say? What does the law have to say? Because many people don't even understand the message of the Old Testament. The message of the law. Romans chapter 3. Look at what the law says. Are you there? Look at verse 19. Can we take it together? One, two, go. Again. Now we know that what the things whoever the law said is here to them who are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So what does the law do? It makes everybody guilty before God. Look at verse 20. Everybody wants to go? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. All things. If you are guilty of one, you are guilty of everything. If for instance, you keep the law in Leviticus 11, Leviticus 14, then you miss out of Numbers, the one in Numbers or in Deuteronomy. Said you are already guilty of the one you have kept. He says, look at that. They don't even know what the law is saying. Praise God. Because the essence of the law was to reveal condemnation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Pastor, are we to stop reading the Old Testament? You didn't hear that from me. People come to that kind of stupid conclusion when they are not good listeners. If I should hear a pastor, for instance, if I were in the auditorium today and this was my first time of hearing the pastor, I will apply what James said, to be slow to speak and swift to hear. And I'll just decide that, look, let me hear this pastor out through and through. Because if you hear a portion of a teaching, let me even say this carefully. If you hear a series of teaching without hearing other series of teaching from that person, and then you come to a conclusion and says, this person is like this, is for this, you are guilty of bearing false witnesses and you are quoting the person out of context. Because you've got to go around. What I will do, I will go to the tape stand. Now, I'll order for as many tapes as I can lay my hands on. As many teaching materials as I can lay my hands on. And I'll hear it out. Then I can come to a conclusion. But see, today we have a lot of lazy Christians. They are too lazy to be spiritual. And when you are lazy, you cannot be spiritual. Too lazy. And they say, how would I stress myself like that? I can't stress myself now. It's just like saying, well, you enter for a 5-year course in engineering. So the first class, they say, number one, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. And they tell you a couple of things and you say, I understand what they're going to teach me to 500 level. No? So what? Has he not said most of the things? I understand it now. After all, what is he going to say after what he has just said in the first class? My God. 2 semesters times 5, 10 semesters. And you are through in one day. There's no point going top forward in school. I'm through. I mean, I know what they're going to say. So rather, let me go and do sociology. You get to that one again. The first class says, is this what they have to say? There's no big deal. You move down. You change that. Take another jump exam. Then you go for psychology. You know, this one just say, you say, I get it. You are through with that. You say, let me go for accounting. At the end of life, you will not be anything. Am I right? You can't be lazy and be spiritual. You can't be lazy. You've got to dedicate your attention to the Word of God. Because today we have too many quick fix solutions people are trying to get. They come and your life will change forever. That's not possible. It's a consistent application of the truth that brings a permanent change in your life. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 6. Who also has made us the ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. For if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was done away with. Now, what does he call the Old Testament? The ministration of what? Of what? Death. Look at verse 9. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory. What does he call it? The ministration of condemnation. That's what it was. It wasn't to justify anyone. So it says, hear what the law says. Galatians chapter 4. For it is written, Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. You can read that from Genesis chapter 16, verse 15. For he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he of the free woman, verse 23, was by the promise. We things are an allegory. That's a symbolic. Of these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. This Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an ancestor of Jerusalem, which now is and is in the bondage with our children. Now watch this now. He's saying that the old covenant is just like Ishmael, the product of Hagar. Because the old covenant was given on Mount Sinai. He says, look at it. He says, that covenant and takes people into bondage. It produces, bondage. That is what it does. It produces bondage. Don't forget, both Ishmael and Isaac came from Abraham. One was from the flesh. One was from the spirit. He says these are symbolic of the two covenants that we have. The covenant of promise and the covenant of the law that we have in the Bible. He says one doesn't produce the promise. One doesn't produce salvation. The other one produces condemnation. The other one produces salvation, faith, and grace. Watch this now. He says, verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of all. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Say, I'm a child of promise. Say it again, I'm a child of promise. Now, observe this. Which one came first, Ishmael or Isaac? Ishmael came first. Well, you are wrong, because you are reading again like a carnal person. You are reading like a carnal person. Why would you say Ishmael came first? Because Ishmael was the first one you saw. That means you're a person of the senses. To assume like that. Say, Pastor, it's hard on me. Yes, I am. You're carnal. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 11. Praise the Lord. If you're someone who listens to us well enough, you wouldn't have said that. Because I've taught you to be able to interpret scriptural things scripturally. Okay, look at Genesis. Put your hands in Hebrews 11. Look at Genesis. You've got to hear God's language. Amen. The language of God is His Word. Praise the Lord. All right. Genesis now. Chapter 22. Glory to God. Just want to show you something. Verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, he said, behold, here I am. And he said, called unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. Look at verse 2. Slowly. Let's take it together. Want to go? And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. That's God's language. Take your son. But there was Ishmael. Praise the Lord. He said, your only son. But there was Ishmael. Look at Hebrews 11. Verse 17. Together, everybody, want to go? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Can you see that? And there was Ishmael. Why are we, I'll get that in a moment. why did I tell you that Ishmael came after? Because the promise that God gave of Isaac preceded the birth of Ishmael. When God speaks His word is true. Now, Abraham took a long time to receive it, but God's word was confirmed. Are you here now? The new covenant is before the old covenant. Why it is called the old covenant is because it is a shadow of the new. You cannot have a shadow of what doesn't exist. Are you here? Can you have a shadow of nothing? There's an image that you have a shadow of. Alright? God had given His word about Isaac. Abraham took a while to believe it. But God's word is true. So in the mind of God, Abraham's only son, according to His word, is Isaac. See, that's why we say, I am what the word says I am. When we say that statement, it shows you that there may be present circumstances or experiences that look different. But you see, I am what the word says I am. Nothing nullifies the word that God gave. Go back there now. Galatians. You go check our tapes. I think we have a number of things that explain this well. Galatians now. Verse 28. Now we are brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. We are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecutes him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Even so it is now. I can take a whole day on that. It's the same way that the law, that Ishmael began to mock Isaac. He said the same way the law, and really the teachers of the law, persecute those who teach grace and the promise of Christ. He said the same way today. There's a conflict amongst a lot of people. Today. Because they don't understand the language of God. They thought that when God says, be holy for I'm holy, was asking them to be holy. How can they be holy? They thought that when God said, thou shalt not worship any other God but me, He was giving them rules to live by. No. God was revealing Himself and describing man's separation from Him. They didn't understand the language of God. And that's why you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. To read from the epistles, to understand what God was saying. You can only interpret the Old Testament from the New. Hallelujah. Get back there now. He says, so the one that came from Sinai brings bondage. He says, but Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with our children, for the Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all, verse 26. Now when he says Jerusalem, I'm aware that today, a whole lot of preachers are talking about Jerusalem. And they are referring to the Jerusalem in the Middle East. But Paul describes Jerusalem here not as a city on earth. He says it's above all. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Who is that fellow? Was it forced to service? Let's tap that fellow. Were you dragged to service? Open your Bible. You have been thinking since you entered. Is he a philosopher? Where are we now? Hebrews 12. Verse. Stop. You are come. Now, when he said, but you are come. But means that I'm trying to make a distinction. Right? Now go to verse 18. Together, what's it go?
for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched. Can you see that now? Say you have come to a mount, but you have not come to a mount that might be touched. Go on. And that burns with fire, not with blackness, and darkness, and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. This is Exodus chapter 20, 19. You can read it there. For they would not endure that which was commanded, and if it so be as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. This was Mount Sinai. Are you there? Say, we have not come to Mount Sinai. Now look at where we have come. 22. But you have come to where? Come on, read now. To where? What is Mount Zion? To the city of the living God. Hallelujah. The heavenly Jerusalem. To an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly. To the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Hallelujah. So your name is written in heaven. Praise God. And to God, the judge of all. And the spirits of the just made perfect. Let's take 24 together. One to go, everybody. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Can you say hallelujah? Can you see that? We have not come to where the law is given. We have come to where Christ is given. The explanation of all things. The fulfillment of all things. This is the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to the city of God. That city is found in Christ. All you read here are found in Christ. And we are in Him today. Hallelujah. So you have not come to a mount that cannot be, that can be touched. Where people fear and they are afraid. Moses himself that went to take the Lord said, I fear. Jesus Christ produces righteousness in you. Therefore, being justified by faith. Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Say, I have peace with God. Say, I have peace with God. Get back to Galatians 4. You've got to understand Bible language. You've got to understand the language of the word. The Old Testament came later. It came after the New Covenant. The New Covenant was confirmed. Let's see that. Galatians. Go to Galatians 3. Hurry. Galatians 3. Are you there? Galatians 3 now. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made, he saith not unto seed as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed which is Christ. Let's take 17 together. One to go. And this I say, for the covenant which was confirmed before of God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years after. See, which one came first? The promise of Christ came first. Right? Before the law. You see that? The law was added because of transgressions. So today, just like we have Isaac and Ishmael, let's just rush. Verse 30. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the born woman and her son. For the son of the born woman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. This should be done in our teachings. In our thinking. Say, cast out the born woman. Now, who is the born woman here? What does the born woman represent here? The law. Are we right? So say, cast out the law and its works. Verse 31. Everybody together wants to go. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of what? Of the free. Today we interestingly have two kinds of Christianity. One which speaks of the promise of Christ, the promise of faith, grace that is in Christ, and the one that speaks of the law. We have to consistently cast out anything that takes away the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm what the word says I am. Say it again, I'm what the word says I am. How do we do that? Chapter 5, verse 1.
like I said earlier, we have two kinds of Christianity. The Christianity that tries to obey the law, tries to do things from the law. It says, Arabia, that is the law, tries to now subject the man who is free into bondage. Oh, the dietary laws, the dress codes, the proprietary laws, and all that and all that. All are fulfilled by the death of one man, Christ Jesus. Yet, some folks don't agree. Because they are bound by the law in their minds. So how do we do it? Chapter 5, verse 1. Are you there? Let's take it. One to go. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ. What does he do? Stand fast. You got to stand fast. That word there is steko in the Greek. It means to be firm. To be consistent. That what that means to hold your ground. To refuse to yield to any opposition. Stand fast. Tell me, stand fast. Say again, stand fast. In the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Hallelujah. Say, I'm free. Wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled again. The word entangled is where you get the word to cage a bird. You know when you cage a bird? You know it's still going to be moving. Right? You get a cage and then you put the bird in there. The bird is supposed to fly in the skies. You put it in the cage. So it begins to struggle. It's still moving. It's still talking. It's still eating. But it's restricted. Doesn't have his freedom. So the fact that you're even getting results in the cage doesn't mean you're free. The fact that you're eating in the cage. Because when you're in the cage, then the owner of the cage begins to give you food. But when you're out of the cage, you find food. Praise God. And you are sufficient. Be not entangled. Be not entangled in the yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I could take a whole lot on this. I have a teaching I taught like this years back. Standing in your liberty. It's a freedom that is in Christ. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. People have tried to explain it. Say, is the truth that you know, is not the truth that makes you free. It is the action and the practice of the truth. Just trying to say nothing out of nothing. Just read down in John 8. You get to 36. He said, whosoever the Son has set free is free indeed. So the truth is who? The Son. Say, I'm free. I can't be freer than this. I can't be freer than this. But what's my role? To stand in that freedom. To stand in that liberty. To insist on my freedom in Christ. Hallelujah. To insist on my freedom in Christ. Behold, I say unto you, if you be circumcised, Christ profits you nothing. Now, don't forget, Paul himself was circumcised. You can check that in Philippians chapter 3 verse 5. Because he was a Jew. But that was not his dependence as a Christian. It's Christ alone that brings salvation. Verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the old law. Let's see verse 4. Let's close with that. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whichever of you are justified by the law. What happens to you? You are falling from grace. This is backsliding. When you move from the grace of God, what Christ has done, to start to depend on your own works, he says you are backsliding. You are falling from grace. You have become a debtor to the whole law.
The word falling from grace is a very strong word in the Greek. It means to be severed from grace. Like you are taken away from something. Like there's a division between you and the grace of God. That's what happens to a lot of people. They start their Christian walk knowing that they brought nothing. Christ brought everything. They now want to continue thinking there's something they still have to add to what Christ has done. Rather than receiving what God has done for them in Christ Jesus and continue to walk in it. Colossians 2:16. Let's start to close now. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of the Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Look at verse 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Taste not, touch not, handle not. Do you know this is how some people build their Christian lives? They're falling from grace, which are all to perish with the using. After the commandments and what? Doctrines of men. It's not good enough to know the grace of God. It's not good enough to hear about the grace of God. The only way to be effective is to receive the grace of God. And to say, look, everything is freely given. I am what He says I am. I walk in the liberty I have in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have peace with God. See, I'm a son of God, not by the works that I do. Titus 3 and 5. Not by my own righteousness that I have achieved, but only on the platform of the blood of Jesus Christ. Today, I'm free from sin, not because I know how to avoid women and I know how to avoid this. No. I'm free from sin because Christ has made me free. That's the grace of God. But Paul says, when you desire to do the law, you are falling from grace. And you will always fail. You will always fail. Acts 20:32 says, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to make you strong, build you up, and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. But let me say this as we close. See, so what about living a holy life? Walking in holiness is an inheritance. That walk in holiness is an inheritance. It's an inheritance that you have in Christ. Every time we seek to do things on ourselves, we fall from the grace of God. Say, I'm free. I'm a child of promise. I'm a child of faith. I don't come from works. I don't live by works. The grace of God produces works in me. I walk in the grace of God. I walk in all that Christ has done. Let this saturate your thinking. God's making no demand on you. Hallelujah. Because everything is in Jesus Christ for you. So say, is it this easy? See, you're going back to Sinai. Amen. You're going back to Sinai. See what Paul said. I mean, the writer of Hebrews said, we are come already to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the innumerable company of angels, to God, the judge of all, to the General Assembly, to the Church of the Firstborn, written in heaven, to the Spirit of the just men made perfect. We have come to Jesus. To the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. Now, Abel's blood, you know what Abel's blood was for? Abel's blood was crying out for vengeance. God said to Cain, he said, the blood of your brother seeks for vengeance. He said, but the blood of Jesus speaks of better things. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus speaks of righteousness by faith. The blood of Jesus speaks of acceptance, forgiveness, and redemption. Hallelujah. We have come to that blood today. Hallelujah. We have come to God. We have come to the city of the living God. We have come to the place of freedom. We have come to the place where God is not ashamed to be called your God. We have come to the place where Jesus is your mediator. He's your brother. He's your perfecter. He's your redemption. He's your salvation. You have come to that. You have come to a place where nothing is required of you. All is given to you. Hallelujah. Is it this free? Exactly. That is how to think as a Christian. Amen. You believe that this morning? Lift your hands, just worship God. Thank you.